The word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Welcome to the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. In this podcast, you'll receive the word of God with anointed clarity and revelation straight from the throne of grace. Now, let's join Pastor White with the word of God already in progress.
Matthew chapter 21. Jesus says in the 13th verse, is written, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of thieves." Jesus is gone through the city, through what we call the triumphal entry. Jesus is beyond that point, and he goes to church. Jesus went to church and discovered that there was no church at the place called church. Jesus goes to church for the purpose of having church, only to discover somebody canceled church at church. He goes to church to lift up God, to get to church to find out God ain't being lifted up. I wondered this morning if he would have walked through the doors of this place, if he find church going on in church. Reverend, what are you talking about? The music is playing, the choir is singing, the ushers have been at post, preachers are in the pulpit. What do you mean? I need to understand that all noise ain't worship. All music in glorifying him. Every hand being lifted up and waving ain't waving for it. I was challenged some years ago to watch. This was years ago, back in the day, an old Michael Jackson concert. And it said, "Look at the just take a look at it. Take a look at it." And as you look at it, turn the volume down. And as the cameras scan the audience, take a look. Look just like church. Hands lifted up, folk falling out, people crying, and if the camera never goes to the stage to see who's on stage, you'd be on TV talking about, "Whoa, they having church up in there." Jesus went to church and found out that church wasn't happening. And church, I've been puzzling over this passage for a few days now. I preached this passage before from a different angle and different direction, and I'm not sure which direction to go with, because I know there are many people who like to portray Jesus in this scene as being an angry, raving, raging madman who goes in and violently kicks over the tables and kicks out them who are exchanging and selling doves in the temple. They want to portray Jesus as one with a whip in his hand, beating those who are there in the temple. And while I believe in this pericope that Jesus was indeed upset, I don't believe he was acting like a madman. I believe instead that Jesus emptied that temple with authority that was shown on his countenance. He had a look. Anybody remember when you were a child and you got caught doing something you weren't supposed to do, and your mama and daddy just gave you the look? Some of y'all, just in my saying that, just mentioning that, made your mind go back to that look, and I saw some of y'all straighten up. I saw you, Rob, and you sitting next to your mama. You kind of looked over at her to be sure she wasn't looking at you. The look they gave you made you want to turn tail and run. That look they gave you made you want to straighten up whatever wrong was going on at that particular time, because you knew you had done wrong. Because your mama's eyes said it all. I believe that's what happened here. All these great men, all these supposed great men, all these supposed leaders of religious service, these money changers felt that way. And when Jesus gave that look as he went into the temple and found that there was no church going on in the place called church, and they as he looked with authority, they fled from his presence. They fled from his presence because they had desecrated, degraded, and disregarded the den of the divine by developing desires that were disrespectful in the house of God. They had desecrated, degraded, disregarded the den of the divine by developing desires that were disrespectful to the house of God. What was wrong with what they were doing, Reverend? Was it the commerce? Was it the selling of items? Was the exchange of money? Was that the problem? We like to take it there, but let's look at it deeply. Let's look at it more deeply than that. I believe that the real issue was a spiritual problem. Those other things were just outward symbols of an inward issue. It was a spiritual problem. Because what's in you eventually is going to come out of you. And what comes out of you is because it was already in you. Look, those of you who use expletive deletives and then want to say, I don't know where that came from. Yeah, you do. Expletive deletives, words you did not learn in Sunday school. At least I hope you ain't learned them in Sunday school. Y'all learned that in Sunday school. I need to talk to Rachel Lloyd. Problem was a spiritual problem, because anytime you allow carnal things in spiritual places, you got spiritual problems. The temple was made up, but you know what? You read the psalm when David said, I enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. When you entered into the gate, you went to the outer courts, the court of the Gentiles and the Jews, the place where anybody could go worship him. From the outer court, you would go to the inner court where only the priest could go worship God. From the inner court to the most holy place beyond the veil where only the most high priest could go on the Day of Atonement to atone for the sins of all the people. But there, in the outer court where anybody could worship, they were doing everything but worship. Notice that Jesus uses a few words that come from Isaiah 56 and 7 as he said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But you've made it into a den of thieves. He doesn't just tell them that it's wrong for them to buy and to sell in the temple. Instead, he goes directly to the real problem, and that is that the temple is no longer being used as a house of prayer. The problem is that where prayer ought to be going, you got stuff in its place. Somebody gonna catch up with me in just a minute in here. The place where prayer and worship ought to be, you got other things that are going on here. And then you want to talk about things in the church ain't what the church ought to be. Are y'all with me in here? Yeah. Jesus said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But where prayer ought to be, you got everything else going on. If I had time and were preaching a little more in depth, I'd start talking about how we allow rumors, gossip, and lies to be in the place where prayer ought to be. I would talk about if I had a little more time and I didn't have to rush myself through this thing. I talk about how we come here for unholy hookups where we ought to be in a place of prayer. If I really had time, I talk about how we come to the house of God to see who shows up and see who they show up with when we ought to be giving God prayer by way of praise, by way of prayer. I talk about how we love to talk about who didn't show and who ain't gonna show and what they doing when they get here instead of y'all ain't praying with the brother up in here. It is because we have put other things where prayer ought to be. And Jesus said, it's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Therefore, give it right here who are under the sound of my voice, who love to talk about the church ain't what the church ought to be. It ain't doing what they ought to do. It ain't, listen, whatever the church is or whatever the church ain't, I love the words of Jesus. He says, my house should be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. I got a word for somebody up in here. Whatever the church is or whatever the church becomes is because you made it. The blessings that the blessings that the temple should be to people, Jesus says, has been stolen. And now there are people who suffer because they can't get to the place that has been designated the place to get to God. Wow. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't give you a subject, did I? Robbed of worship. Robbed of worship. No. Notice the section of the temple here that the folk can get into. That section of the temple that Jesus cast those folk out, where they sold and exchanged money. This was the poor man's sacrifice. Yet at this time, sick, blind, crippled, and diseased people could not get into that place because that was the place that the other stuff was going on. Yeah. This was true theft. Man had defiled the house of God by turning it into a place that kept out the very people God desired to lay his hands on. Let me ask Weeping Willow, how many people can't get in here because of what may be going on the inside? Reverend, can you preach one of them worship sermons that'll make me shout? Don't make me think. Don't convict me yet.
All right, then.
The very people who needed to get in the house couldn't get in the house. Wait, that happens today because the very people who need to get here can't get. Wait a minute, Reverend. We got some room in the pews. They can get in. No. The drunks don't come in because there's too much stuff filled talking about drunks. Drug addicts who are out there who need to be here where God can get his hands on can't get in. Not because there ain't physical room, but we made no room by putting them out before they ever come in.
Say that.
Not only was this practice in this day keeping people out, but it was also keeping out the very presence of God.
Say that.
They were robbing God of worship. Worship. Worship means to show reverence. Worship means to show reverence and adoration. Worship means to revere, to venerate, to pay homage to honor, to adore, to praise, to pray. Worship means to glorify, to exalt, or to extol. The word worship comes from two old English words, worth, and ship, which means something like shape or quality. We can see the old English word ship in modern words like friendship or sportsmanship. That's the the quality of being a friend or the quality of being a good sport. Worship is the quality of having worth or being worthy. When we worship, we are saying that God has worth. Yes. When we worship, we are saying that God is worthy. Worship means to declare worth or to attribute worth, or to put it in biblical terms, we praise God. Yes. We speak. Or we sing about how good and how powerful God is. Am I talking right in here? This is the purpose for which we are called. 1 Peter 2:9 puts it this way: for you are a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a holy nation, that should show forth the praises of him who brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Don't look at me like you always had yourself together. Don't look at me like you always been saved all your life. Don't look at me like you came out of the womb speaking in tongues. Y'all ain't praying with the brother up in here. Truth of the matter is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but yet we are called for the purpose of giving God praise. Yes. Worshiping God. That's one of the job descriptions of being a Christian. We should declare that God is worthy. He is worth more than anything or everything put together. The hymn writer simply said, some folk would rather houses and land. Some folk choose silver and gold. These things they treasure and forget about their soul. But I decided to make Jesus my choice. In both Hebrew and Greek, there are two major kinds of words for worship. The first means to bow down, to kneel, to put one's face down as an act of respect and submission. The other kind is a biblical word which means to serve. Of course, to bow down, to serve. Of course, words and definition alone don't prove what worship is. But they do illustrate three kinds of worship. There is first, there's a worship that involves speaking. There's a worship that involves listening. There's a worship that involves doing. I got to say it again. When you worship, you speak. When you worship, you listen. When you worship, you do. There is a worship that expresses the heart. And a worship that involves the mind. And a worship that involves the body. There is a worship that is giving praise upward, a worship that is receiving instruction from above, and a worship that carries instruction out around the world. Some people focus primarily on speaking or singing praise to God. Praise is good, because God is worth singing to and worth singing about. Can I get a witness? But if all we ever do is praise God without ever listening to what he says, we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe the words we're saying? If he really is all wise, if he really is all loving, then we need to be attentive to what he's telling us, because God is also worth listening to. Yes, sir. However, all talk and no action does not show God the respect that he deserves, because actions speak louder than words. And if our behavior is not changed by God, then our actions are really saying that God really ain't important. Amen. It got quiet in here. If our actions, our behavior is not changed by God, then what our actions are telling God is, God, you a nice idea.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
but you really aren't relevant to our day-to-day lives. Because when we really believe that God is worthy, when we believe that God is worthy of every praise, then we'll be willing to listen to God and change the way we live in response to such a worthy God. We'll trust Him and seek Him and want to please Him as much as we can. Worship should affect our behavior. I got to say it again. Worship should affect our behavior. Worship. When you come in here and worship, it ought to affect your behavior. That when you leave here, you don't leave the same person that came in here. Because if you come in here and leave here the same person that you were, this might as well be the club. I mean, when you go to the club, you come in, you listen to the music, you get your dance on. When you come to the club, you come to socialize and to see who's there. Put on your best clothes. Come on, somebody. Your highest heels. And you leave unchanged. Because whatever your intent was when you went to the club, you left with that same intent when you left the club. Are you hearing me in here? And depending on what your intent was, it magnified when you got in. And it manifested. And I used a little. You did something about it when you left out. The clubbers caught that. But when you come to worship, come on in here, somebody. When you come in saying, "I bless the Lord at all times, His praise shall continually be in my mouth." When you come in and say, "This is the day that the Lord God has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it." There's something that happens to you when you get in the house. That changes the way you think. That are y'all hearing me in here? Worship should affect your behavior. Let me hurry, y'all. Worship ought to cause you first to repent. Worship ought to cause you to repent. To repent means to feel or to express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin, and the sincere desire to make it right. To repent means more than to say "I'm sorry," because some folk are only sorry that they got caught and will then use as an opportunity to improve upon their wrongness. Are y'all following me in here? But when you really repent, not only are you sorry, not only do you have no intent in doing it again, but you're asking, "How can I make my wrongs right?" Help me, somebody in here. That's why there was a song written that says, "I'm sorry, forgive me, clean me up, Jesus. I didn't mean to hurt you nor desert you, because I love you so much. I admit it that I did it. I didn't mean to let you down. King Jesus, turn my life around and give me another chance." Is there anybody in here in the midst of worship that cries out, "God, give me another chance"? Not only does worship cause you to repent, but worship causes you to renew. Yes. Y'all forgive me right here, because I might get a shout on after I give you this definition right here. Because listen, to renew. I know when if I would ask you what renew means to you, it means to make new again. Baby, you missed it. To renew means to resume after an interruption. To renew renew means to resume after an interruption. Because truth of the matter is, I was on my way. Anybody been saved for a minute and found yourself going astray? Yeah, that astray was an interruption. I'm sorry, they too holy on this side. I need some folks on this side who understand. I hadn't been the me I always am right now, but I did some wrong along the way. And when I was trying to do good, bad interrupted. Anybody in here? That's only half of them. Let me look back here. Anybody in the choir stand, can you really admit that there were some things I wanted to do, should have done, but as I was on my way to do good, there was something that interrupted me in the process. Sometimes it was a fella, it was a short skirt. Sometimes it was a woman, it was a tall, dark, and handsome. Y'all ain't praying with me up in here. And it interrupted you in your journey. Oh, but when you are renewed, renewal means to resume after the interruption. I got stopped along the way, but my God, I got myself back together. And I'm over. Look at somebody and tell them I'm over that. Woo, God up in here. Yeah. I don't care what your interruption was. It could have been women. I don't know what your interruption was. It could have been men. I don't know what your interruption was. It could have been women and men. I don't know what your interruption was. Could have been drugs, y'all called that. Could have been an addiction. But whatever your interruption was, look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm over that. I've been renewed. I am resuming life after my interruption. And now I can say the things I used to do. The places I used to go. The people I used to hang with. Five, somebody tell them I'm over that. I'm over that. I'm over that.
We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired by the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. If you are new to the area and or seeking a church home, please feel free to worship with us at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church, located at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Our order of services are as follows. Sunday morning worship with the preached word at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study, 12 noon and 6:30 p.m. and every first Sunday Holy Communion. For more information about Weeping Willow, please go online to www.weepingwillowamez.org or call 704-532-9125 or via email at wwillowchurch@aol.com. Finally, if this podcast has encouraged and inspired you, please come visit us at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. The Word of God says in the Book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
This is Enrico White, pastor of the Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. I'm personally inviting you to join us for the experience. Experience the word. Experience the worship. Experience the witness at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have two wonderful worship experiences, 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Come be revived. Come be renewed as lives are being touched, hearts are being transformed. Weeping Willow is located 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, or look for us on the web, weepingwillowamez.org. We'll see you real soon.